Good evening to each one. So good to be with you tonight to worship our King Most High as we just lift up our voices in praise to God. Thank you for the songs that have been selected for our worship service today, Brian. I invite you to take your Bibles out, please. Be turning in them to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please. We're blessed with visitors as we were this morning, different visitors, but we're so thankful that you're with us and we're encouraged by your presence. Count you as honored guest and hope you can be back in the near future. We have a number of our own that are out, some due to sickness, some due to traveling in the country, some out of the country, and some of our young people who normally would be here tonight are away, and we'll need to get some of this material to them because there's going to be some homework given out tonight. And so we got to make sure they don't miss out on the homework, right? So the parents and other young people can help me make sure that they're not left out of what we're doing tonight. But it's an exciting time for our young people and our children because it's summer break. Finally, you get a break from school, whether that's public school or homeschool, and thus, you begin to make summer plans. So, young people, let me ask you something. What are your plans for your summer break? Some of your plans, I know for some of you, involve camp. And some will be away next week at a camp, I know, during the week. And some, I'm sure, families have vacation plans during the summer. Some of my friends that I went to school with have taken their children. A couple of them went out west and were chronicling the different places and national parks and monuments that they visited. And it's kind of neat to follow that along. And I'm sure there's families here that have vacation plans worked into your summer plans, your summer break. And maybe some of the younger people who are older have summer job plans, and maybe you are hoping to sleep more and play more, but your parents may not let you do that. But I would like to suggest to you this evening four things to include in your summer plans. And first of all, a summer Bible reading plan. I want to encourage each of you to follow a summer Bible reading plan. I'm sure many of you have heard of and maybe participated in, as I know our children have, in libraries that conduct summer reading programs. Bookstores even sometimes conduct summer reading programs. Well, what about a summer Bible reading program or plan? And I would suggest you a three-month plan. From June to August, to do such a thing. In fact, on the stage to my right and to my left is such a plan. It's a three-month plan, June, July, and August. Won't be able to see here because the font's so small, but it goes from Matthew, of course, to Revelation over 90 days. Okay, and even though this is June the 2nd, you'll still get 90 days out of June and July and August altogether, and I think even have a day to spare. And this isn't an intense reading. There's only two chapters, some days three chapters at the most, in this 90-day New Testament reading plan. And so be sure to pick that up afterwards, parents, young people, and let's make sure we get it to our young people who are not able to be with us this evening. But 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13. Notice what Paul tells Timothy there to do. He says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." And so what I'm saying to you young people, and really to all of us, but especially directed to our young people, is to give attention to reading the Bible more, especially over the next 3 months with this challenge that I'm presenting to you. I know many of our young people, I've come to find out, are quite proficient readers, outstanding readers of books, even big books, hundreds of pages in length. I told Jesse I was going to mention my sermon. He's like, why? Well, this is why. He's got a habit of doing a lot of reading anymore. Pretty much April and I can always catch him, and sometimes we have to get on to him and stop reading because he needs to do something else we told him to do, or he needs to do his school work. And so he rode with me to services this morning, and he's back there. He's next to me reading his book. On the way home, he's reading his book. In his bedroom this afternoon, he's reading his book. I said, Jesse, how many pages long is that book? And he flips to the back. It's over 400 pages. I don't read those kind of books, by the way. I never was much of a bookworm, I mean, other than the Bible. But we have other young people. They realize, he says, I'm a slow reader. Well, he goes through the books because he spends a lot of time reading. And so I challenge my son, I challenge the other young people here, do a summer Bible reading plan, 2 or 3 chapters, pretty easy to accomplish. A group of brethren, the month of May, a few of you here maybe, I think, participated. I know Laurel did and April did, maybe some others as well participated in the reading the New Testament in 30 days. Here, 90 days, 3 months. And so not nearly as intense as that. But 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 15, notice what Paul says to the young man Timothy here. He says, be diligent. King James Version has what word there? Study. Study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want you to be a worker. Bible reading and paying attention to Bible reading and Bible study, it requires work. It requires effort. I appreciate Brother Sam's good prayer. Sam will tell you, we didn't get together on that, but he mentioned in his prayer about the young people and studying the Bible for themselves, reading it for themselves. And that's what we're encouraged to do. Not that you don't already do that. I'm encouraging you to do that more. And as you read, because, again, this is just 2 or 3 chapters, don't want you to do speed reading. Let me see how quickly I can do this, right? Sometimes we're like that with homework. Don't do that with this homework. It's only 2 chapters, 3 chapters at most, as I looked at the schedule. And so I would encourage you, as you read, make some notes. Get a notebook. Make some notes of what you read, what stands out to you, your observations, questions maybe that you have as you read through it. And ask Mom and Dad. You can ask me if you'd like. But do some Bible study. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And by doing that, you're going to grow naturally. You're going to develop more spiritually in engaging in Bible study in that way. Not just, let me see how fast I can get this done, but let me see what I can get out of the text today that maybe I hadn't noticed before. And that's one of the things a lot of the grown-ups that were participating in this Read the New Testament in the month of May, they hadn't done that before, read the entire New Testament 1 month in one sitting, but just keep reading consecutively instead of jumping around here and there. And getting so much more out of it, reading it that way. And that's what you'll be doing, but over a 3-month period. And then notice, young people, all the things that Paul has to say about the Scriptures. And the 3rd chapter of 2 Timothy, from what David Gerza read for us just a little while ago, for our Scripture reading this evening, verses 14 through 17. Paul says to Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Notice now, what are the Holy Scriptures able to do? They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So let me pause there. Many of the young people, including my own children, they read other books, and that's fine. But those books, Not going to make you wise into salvation. Now, there may be some religious books that you read, but nothing is ever going to come close to comparing to the inspired Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. These words can make you, make all of us, wise into what is most important, and that is our salvation, right, in Jesus Christ. It's our soul, our eternal soul, being saved for all eternity if we remain faithful to it. But what an important book this is, greatest and most important book we can read. And so read it, read the entire New Testament, so that you can be further made wise unto salvation. And some of our young people have already obeyed the gospel. Well, it's going to help increase your knowledge and wisdom of God's Word that much more as you do it and participate. Keep reading verse 16. All Scripture. Notice, again, we're saying, we want to observe, what does Paul say about this Scripture? Well, he says, those Holy Scriptures that Timothy has known since his childhood, able to make him wise to salvation. Now he says, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. God's the source of all Scripture. It originates with Him. Inspired is, it means God breathed. And notice what it's profitable for. Four things it's profitable for. That is doctrine or teaching, reproof, correction, and instructs us in what is righteous. And thus it instructs us in what is unrighteous, right? What we need to know, how we need to live, the Bible tells us. What does that do for the man of God? It makes us complete, perfect, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so you might participate in a local library's summer reading program. That's fine. That's good. Lots of times they give incentives and rewards and coupons and free things. And I know our boys enjoyed that last summer. But here's something I know is much more important than those reading plans, and that's a summer Bible reading plan or program. Number two, another summer plan I want to suggest to you, young people, and that is attend gospel meetings and vacation Bible schools. As been announced, Parkview's Vacation Bible School begins in the morning, goes through Friday, so June 3rd through the 7th. Ours is in July, July 8th to the 12th. Alvin's is in August. There you go. The 3 months you're going to be reading the New Testament. You have a Vacation Bible School to attend every month. Parkview next month, ours in July. Of course, you better be here for that. And then August, the one over in Alvin. And so make plans, families, and young people to do that. Of course, some congregations have their gospel meetings in the summer, as we typically have done in August. This time it will be late September. But pay attention to flyers and announcements in congregations in the area that there's going to be a meeting. Because the point is, the more opportunities that you can find young people and older members, Christians, the more opportunities we can find to assemble with other saints to worship God and study His inspired Word, of course, the better. Because it's going to help you, young people. The more you do that, the more you'll grow spiritually. You'll meet other brethren in the area. You'll be an encouragement to them as they are to us when they come over for our vacation Bible schools and our meetings. And you'll meet other young people in these other local congregations. You'll form relationships, hopefully with other godly young people. And those relationships and friendships hopefully will last a lifetime. But make those plans. We know the benefit. The Scriptures tell us the benefit, the great spiritual benefit of being together, of worshiping together. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another. What does the author say? In order to stir one another up to love and good works. So every time we assemble, we're able to do that. Every time we don't assemble, we're not able to do that. And so we don't want to forsake, right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We get so much spiritual good. I hope you have today already. I trust you have. if you're engaged, if you're participating, if we're worshiping God in spirit with the right attitude and according to the truth, we're going to benefit every time we're here, right? And of course, if we're more well rested, we're going to get even more out of it. Sometimes that can't be helped for a young mother who's been up with the baby, or sickness that kept us up, or work, or what have you. But we come here, we're more rested, we're going to get more out of it. We flip turn in the Bible, we take notes, you're going to get more out of it. And that, of course, is always going to do us spiritually good. But God has designed the assembly to benefit us. It's directed toward Him, and He's praised and honored and glorified as He should be. But we're benefited, right? We teach and admonish one another through what? The psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And certainly, we can all say that we have been with the songs we've sung together today in our worship services and our children's class that we had together. There's encouragement there. There's building up. There's strengthening. 1 Peter chapter 2. Notice with me there. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. The Apostle Peter writes, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may what? That you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Have you tasted the Lord is gracious? If you have, you're going to be like that newborn baby that is eager to be fed by mama. You want the milk of God's Word, and later you're going to want even more than that. You want something even deeper than that, the meat, the solid food that the Hebrew writer speaks of in Hebrews chapter 5. But with the reading plan, if you follow that, what are you going to be doing as you do that? You're going to be growing thereby, as Peter says, right? As you study, as you write notes and observations, as you attend other gospel meetings and vacation Bible schools, what's going to happen as you go to those classes, you receive that teaching and you're paying attention, you're participating? We're going to grow, whatever age we are, we're going to grow and benefit spiritually from those spiritual activities, right? And those times of worship and study. A third summer plan I would like to present to you young people is to invite your friends to Bible study and to worship services. There in John chapter 1. Let's read some verses there together. The beginning, or near the beginning at least, of John's gospel there in the first chapter. Of course, I know our young people here are Bible smart enough to know that John, the immerser, the baptizer, was sent by God to prepare the Jews for the coming of His Son, right? And so John began his preaching first, before Jesus came onto the scene. And one day, really two occasions we see in John 1, John 1, 29 and John 1, 36, we see John identifying Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world there in verse 29. And again, "Behold the Lamb of God" in verse 36 of John 1. And we read in 37 that the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." And so they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Notice what Andrew did. Verse 41. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Keep reading. 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." You know what we find here in these verses? We find invitations. We find invitations to individuals and introductions to Jesus Christ. We find Andrew, one of the disciples of John. Here's John identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, and he follows after Jesus. When he believes Jesus to be the Messiah, what does he do? He first found his brother and brought him to Jesus so they could meet. Then what does Philip do? Philip found a friend of his named Nathanael. And he says, "Hey, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote of Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." He hears Nazareth, and there's an immediate prejudice and bias in his mind. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Really? Well, what did he say? Come and see. Come and find out for yourself. That's what I'm saying to you young people. I want you to make a list of some of your friends, maybe one, maybe three or five or even 10, and write their names down on a piece of paper, and then I want you to begin to invite them to services. Begin working through your list and invite them to Bible class, invite them to worship services, and some of you have already been doing that, and I commend you for that, and continue to do that. You're a good example to your young friends. You're a good example to us of us who are older, that we need to continue to do that, to invite our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and so on, to come to Bible study, come to worship services. You know, in Acts 10, that's what Cornelius did. Cornelius, he didn't know the truth yet, at least the full truth. He didn't know the gospel. He didn't know the gospel plan of salvation. But he did know that a preacher was coming to tell him what he must do to be saved. The angel told him, "He will tell you words by which you and your household will be saved." That's recorded in Acts 11:14 when Peter recounts what had happened in order. Well, when Peter arrives, Cornelius is waiting, and he has his family there. He has relatives there. He has close friends there, and they're ready to hear everything that Peter has to say to them. What did Cornelius do? He prepared. He invited family and friends to come and hear the gospel preached by Peter because he knew this was important. Here's the thing. What do we notice back in 2 Timothy 3:15? The Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, are able to make you what? Wise into salvation. What are they able to do for other people? Make them wise into salvation. What did Paul say about the gospel in Romans 1:16? "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to" what? "To salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek." And so, of course, we want to invite our friends and our neighbors and our relatives, just like Cornelius did, because he knew a man was coming who was going to tell him and his household words by which he must be saved. We want others to hear the word of life, don't we? And so, young people, make that part of your summer plans, to include your friends and your neighbors and invite them and bring them with you. You know, a simple invitation could very possibly lead to the salvation of another precious soul. We have some folks here tonight, and we have some who are not here tonight that came to know the truth because one of you invited them to come, and they came, and they heard, and they learned, and obeyed the gospel. Many years ago, somebody invited some high school friends, didn't they? And Erica and Brittany eventually came. And someone must have invited Pankita to come, right? And someone must have invited a neighbor years ago named David and Barbara Nelson to come. You see, don't underestimate the power of a simple invitation for someone to come to worship services and Bible study, because they very well may possess a good and honest heart when they hear the truth and they want to know more and learn more, right? And so, young people, you don't have to wait till you're older. And many of you haven't. You've already been invited and bring your friends. And I'm encouraging you to do that and make that a part of your summer plans. Number four, don't be lazy during the summer. Work. W-O-R-K, as we sometimes sing. Work. Be turning to Matthew 25, please, in your New Testaments. Matthew 25. Of course, verses 14 through 30 is the whole text. And we read about how the kingdom of heaven is like this man that travels to a far country. But before he left, he called together his servants, delivered his goods to them, right? First man, he gave 5 talents. The second man, 2 talents. To the third, he gave 1. And he gave each according, the text says, to their ability. What they could do. What the master knew they could do and accomplish while he was away. And so he leaves. And this is a picture, no doubt, about our Lord and the instructions he's left his people, and he's gone to heaven, but we know he's coming back. And when he comes back, we know we as his servants are going to stand before him, right? We're going to give him account. Have we been active? Have we been lazy? Right? Have we been busy? Or have we been idle? And the first two, they were busy. They were working. The third one, though, not so much, right? And what did he do? He hid his master's talent in the ground and said, I was afraid. And well, anyways, here you go. I'm going to give it back to you. And of course, he's angry with his servant. And he said, you could at least have ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, verse 27. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent, verse 28, from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But back in verses 25 and 26, when he said to his master, Lord, here you go. You have what is yours. How did the master, his Lord, describe him in verse 26? How did he describe him? You wicked and what? Lazy servant. Basically, you good for nothing servant? I mean, you couldn't even make the effort to walk over to the bank and deposit it so I at least have my own back with some interest while I was away all this time? You couldn't have done that? You know, the man with 5, he produced 5 more. The man with 2, he produced 2 more. He gave him 1 according to his own ability. It wasn't like he didn't have the ability to do something with it. He did. He just didn't. And so he was wicked because he didn't obey his master. He was lazy because he didn't do anything with it. And I'm saying to young people, I'm saying to all of us, and at all times, not just during the summer, we have to be workers. Must not be lazy. Must not be lazy, especially when it comes to the Lord's work and to his kingdom and to his cause, right? Notice in Hebrews chapter 6, going along really with these same thoughts. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Notice verse 12, that you do not become sluggish. Some of you have a little note there, as I do in my Bible, and a word in the margin, lazy. Don't become sluggish. Don't become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know the opposite of lazy? It's diligence. It's diligence. What he said there in verse 11, show the same diligence. If I cease to be diligent, more than likely, then I become lazy. I become sluggish. And he's especially, of course, speaking in spiritual ways. But it should be true of all aspects of our life that we're not lazy. You know, what I've observed is a lot of people, and sometimes some brethren, unfortunately, can be very, very active in their regular day-to-day lives and their jobs and homes and their yards and beautiful manicured yards, and yet when it comes to spiritual things, you can't find them. They don't participate. They don't help out. And their talent may not be a Bible class teacher, and their talent as a man may not be song leading or giving invitation or preaching when I'm gone. That's okay. There's so many different things for men and women and young people to do in the kingdom with the abilities and talents that you do have that are needed so and meaningful and so helpful, and yet very diligent in the rest of their life, but in the area where it really, really matters, not so much. Let that not be the case for you and I. And so let me say this to you young people. Be mindful of how much time during the summer and in general that we often waste, and maybe you often waste, on the computer and on your phone and on your tablet and watching TV and playing video games and social media and just laying around. Work around the house, helping out mom and dad. Go visit those in the nursing home. Go to other such medical facilities where some of our own are at. Send notes and cards to visitors to our assembly, as we had even again this morning, and to members who could use some encouragement. And there's always members that need encouragement. And I tell you this, there's nothing quite like receiving a card or note in the mail from a child or from a teenager, from a young person, and how much that means. I've received cards before, and a lot of our Bible class teachers are so good about, even in Bible class sometimes, using some of that time for them to address cards to some of the older members, but sometimes to other teachers and to the preacher and no doubt to the elders and deacons, and how much that means. And so do those sort of things. In Ephesians chapter 2, young people, remember, particularly if you've already obeyed the gospel, that you were created, Paul says, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were created as Christians in Christ Jesus for good works. In other words, to be active, to be doing God's will in our lives and toward one another. In Titus, notice in Titus 2:14. And let's recall and be reminded, as Paul says here in Titus 2:14, how Jesus Christ gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people who are what? Zealous, kind of that diligent idea, zealous for good works. Yes, Jesus died for you and me to save us from our sins, to purify for Himself His own special people. But He wants His own special people, you and I, to be zealous for good works. And if we're zealous for good works, we're workers, right? Obviously, good works, working. And then in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. A lot about good works here in Titus. Titus 3 and verse 8, later Paul says there, those who have believed in God should be what? Are you some of those who have believed in God? Well, this applies to you then. Those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to who? All men. Not just to members of the Lord's church, they are, but to even our fellow man out here, our neighbors, when we are careful to maintain good works. Titus 3:14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, keep doing them, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be what? Unfruitful. Stay busy. Bear fruit. Maintain good works. Be a worker. Young person, don't allow yourself to become lazy. I'm sure your parents will help out a lot with that. But those are the things that I want to challenge you with. Those four areas. As you take your summer break and you go in various directions, these four things I want to challenge you with, the first of which, of course, is to do a summer Bible reading plan. Don't forget, they're up here on the stage afterwards. Grab them and let's get them to those who weren't able to be with us tonight for this lesson. Attend gospel meetings and other vacation Bible schools besides our own that's taking place, Lord willing, next month. Invite your friends. Make a list, whether that's 1, 3, 5, 10, and then begin inviting them to our Bible studies, to our worship services, and the power of an invitation. And then finally, as we just emphasized, don't be lazy. Be a worker in the Lord's kingdom. We sing that song, I Want to Be a Worker for the Lord. And so let's sing it and let's mean it. But as you've taken out your songbooks, if you haven't, please do so and open the song of invitation. In just a moment, Brian will be leading us in. Notice the song title, There is Power in the Blood. We quoted a moment ago Romans 1:16, the power of the gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Of course, what gives it its power? Jesus does, and what Jesus did, and Him dying the cross, and Him shedding His blood, and how His blood can cleanse the sins of every single person on the face of the earth if and when they decide to follow Jesus, right? Because there's conditions. It's not He died on the cross for the world's sins and just everyone's automatically saved. No, you have to choose, as we studied this morning. You got a desire to come after Him, deny self, take up your cross, and follow Him. And so, what's your choice? You going to choose to follow Jesus or choose not to? There's two paths. One's narrow that leads to life, Jesus said. Choose that one. Few are on it. Then there's the broad way where most in this world are on that leads to destruction. If you're on that path, get off of it. And get on the narrow path. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. You're going to have to come through Jesus. There's no salvation in any other than Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. And so believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. And you'll be raised to walk in newness of life. And then faithfully serve Him all the days of your life, however short or long that may be. If you're a child of God, but there's sin in your life, you know what you need to do. You need to confess it, acknowledge it, repent of it, turn away from it, turn back to God, seek His forgiveness. But if we can help you in any way, let us know as we stand and we sing.